Go ahead and open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians. That's where we're going to be, where we are going to be spending the majority of our time this morning. A lot of what I am going to discuss with you, at least at the beginning, the first half of this lesson, is some points that we have discussed in our Bible classes the last adult Bible classes anyway, the last couple of times we have been together, and our relationship with the Lord and the fact that He is our King and He reigns and we are subject to Him. I'm very thankful for how the Bible writers describe things in putting things in everyday terms that are easy for us to understand. There are some concepts in the Bible that at times just kind of on the surface and at first glance can be difficult, can be challenging, but the writers of the Bible, as they've been inspired, have made illustrations to make those things easier for us to understand. And Paul does that here in several different ways here in the book of Ephesians to describe the relationship between Christ, our King, and the church. He uses several different metaphors to describe that relationship. And a lot of those can be found at the very end of chapter 2. We are described, His people are described as a kingdom that is ultimately subject to the King. We've talked about that quite a bit here in our Bible classes. God's people, or the church, is described in chapter 2, verse 19, as a household. And we are members of that household. In that same context, the church is described as a building. It is a building that is growing into a temple. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that building. He is that chief piece that holds it all together. So several different ways in which the church is described. But the most common metaphor, I believe, that Paul uses in the book of Ephesians is that to describe the church as a body. We've, again, talked about that quite a bit here. But the church is the body of Christ. The church then composed of saved people like all of us, most of us here, that have been washed of our sins, and who have devoted themselves to the head of that church, the head of that body, and that head being Christ. I think this is pretty accurate. There are 9 different times in the book of Ephesians that the church is described as the body of Christ. 9 different times in 8 verses. So I think Paul is trying to make a point when he says that, and is trying to impress upon us something about the church. And that's just 9 times where the word body is used. There are a whole host of other places in Ephesians where body may not be specifically used, but it is alluded to in different ways. The first instance of that the use of the word body comes at the end of chapter 1, verses that we are all familiar with. In verse 22, and He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So Paul sets forth a relationship that we have as members of that body. Christ has been exalted to a position where He is above all authority. He is the authority. He is the power. And he's above all else. And specifically, he is that authority when it comes to the church. He is that authority when it comes to the body. And we are a part of that body. And as a part of that body, we are then ultimately subject to the head, and that being Christ. So just briefly here, I wanted to discuss our relationship with the Lord as members of that body, and then as we get towards the end of the lesson, I'll make an application or two to us as we think about our role in the church and that being subject to Christ and how that relates to us in some specific ways. You know, the best way to describe the role of a head, Jesus being the head of the church, is to think about, you know, the physical head and the relationship we have with it and the importance it plays to us. It provides leadership for the body. You know, what the head decides to do, that's what the rest of the body does, a body that properly functions. It provides vision to the body. It provides direction to the body. It gives instruction to the body. It communicates with the body. Your brain communicates with the various members of that body, and a body that works correctly, then the various members of that body are going to fall in line with what the head directs it to do. And ultimately, the head cares for, loves, and acts in the best interest of the body. And so that certainly is not an exhaustive list about as far as what the head does for us. And it certainly is not an exhaustive list of what Christ does for us. But that gives us an idea of the relationship the church has to the head. Christ is the head, and he is our ultimate authority. He gives us vision. He gives us direction. And we are controlled by what the head does. And certainly, Christ acts in the best interest of our body and loves us and wants what is best for his body, the church, as we are members of that body. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to consider some things that we see here in verses 22 through 33. This is a passage that we are all familiar with as Paul is paralleling the relationship between Christ and the church and that of a husband and a wife. And there are some specific comparisons that Paul makes as we think about our relationship with our spouse and how we need to behave towards them and act and what that relationship is going to be like. But I'd like to concentrate on what Paul says about Jesus and his role that he has as the head of the church and his tremendous love that he has shown for each of us individually and collectively. So let's consider a moment Christ's role as the head of the church. In verse 22, we read there that wives, it says here, wives be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. So wives are to be subject to their husbands as to the Lord. And he uses, and then he says, husbands are the the husband is the head of the wife, and uses Christ as an example to make his point. And the example he sets forth here, here in this verse and in the following verses is that Christ is the head of the church. And we see here that ultimately what that entails is that Christ is the very Savior of the body. We see in verse 25, husbands, love your own wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus is the Savior of the body. And he saved his body by giving his life on the cross for us. He paid the ultimate sacrifice in giving of himself. We see in chapter 5, at the beginning of this chapter, in verse 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. So Jesus, as the head of this body, as the Savior of the body, gave himself and sacrificed himself for the sake of the body so that the body could be saved. And we see going all the way back to chapter 2, the very beginning, that we were all dead in our trespasses, in our transgressions. And through the giving of Christ, we have been made alive. Jesus is the Savior of the body. He sacrificed himself for the sake of that, of us. And through that sacrifice, then he sanctified the church. In verse 26, after he's told husbands to love their wives as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her, he continues on by saying in verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Through his sacrifice, Jesus sanctified the church. He set us apart. And it was only by his blood that was shed for us that we were able to be sanctified, that we were able to be brought in closer relationship with him. And so, by the offering of himself, by the washing of water, by God's word, then we are brought in closer fellowship with him. And so he is the Savior of the body. He sacrificed himself. And we also see that as the head of that body, he has provided us, he has provided his people with the nourishment that they need, with all of the tools that are necessary for us to be the people that we need to be. Husbands, in verse 28, it says here that husbands are to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. And so as the head, he provides us with the nourishment, with the health, with the tools we need to not only survive, but also to thrive, to grow into the people that he wants us to be. We see, going back to chapter 4, that Christ is the giver of gifts to his church, to his people. And those gifts are necessary for the church to grow, to be the people that God wants us to be. He gave those gifts in the form of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers so that we can be equipped with the Word of God, that we can grow and become the mature man and women that we need to be to come to a knowledge of the Son of God and to ultimately be filled up with the fullness of God. Christ, as the head of this church, has given us all of the tools we need to be who we need to be. And we also see here that Christ is, he provides the church with a vision. He has got a goal. He's got goals for his people. And he just didn't arbitrarily do any of these things, but he's got certain expectations of his people that he wants to accomplish on our behalf. He even the church and God's people and the filth and the mess that we are in at the beginning of chapter 2, being dead in our transgressions, has a vision for us that one day we would be holy and blameless, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we would be pure before Him. And that's His vision for us. That is what He wants for us. And He's provided us with all that we need to accomplish that. And what Jesus has done for us can ultimately be summed up in the love that He has for us. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. We already talked about in chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And how is it that we imitate God? All the ways which Paul can say, this is how you need to imitate God. We imitate God by walking in love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. And at the end of the day, as head of the church, what has Christ done for us? He has loved the church as Himself. Those are some fundamental concepts that I am certain we all agree with. And we all understand. I've not given anything new. I'm certain that we have not already considered and understood. But I want to think about that in one particular way, in one particular application. And that's the application that Paul makes here in Ephesians 5. And that is how we need to view our relationship with Christ and what Christ has done for us and how that needs to impact us men as we think about our wives and as we consider how we need to behave towards them and to love them as Christ has loved the church. Anytime Christ is the example of how we need to do anything, the bar has set extremely high, as high as it can get. I've had occasion here recently to go through Ephesians and to really think about it. And when you do something like that and you get to this section on husbands, it really begins to open your eyes as far as how you need to be as far as your relationship with your wife is concerned. Husbands, I want to ask you this. What is your duty as the head of your wife? What do you believe to be the most fundamental of your duties to her? If you'd asked me a number of years ago, a number of weeks ago, what I viewed myself as my role as the head of my wife, these are some of the things that I would have wrote down. I'm the provider. I'm the primary breadwinner of my family. It's my duty to make sure that we are taken care of financially and that sort of thing. I hold a steady job. We've got regular income. I'm able to put food on the table, that sort of thing. I'm the protector. Okay, I protect my wife. I protect my family. Bad people that may come in and may try to threaten them, I'm going to show my muscle and I'm going to get guns out or whatever, and I'm going to protect them. That is my job. I'm the leader of my family. I'm the leader of my wife. I'm the decision maker. Certainly, we come together and we discuss things together and we make decisions together. But ultimately, the final say in those matters belong to me. I'm not arguing with any of that. except if that's my only view, if that's my view as what as far as my primary functions to my wife are concerned, that's a pretty shallow view of what I need to be doing as far as how I'm to be the head of my wife. A lot of those things, even the world would agree with at least some of those things, the provider, the protector, especially. That's a pretty narrow view. I don't need the book of Ephesians to tell me that's what I need to do. I can go to other parts of the Bible to tell me those are the things that I need to do. I'm not sure I need the example of Christ to do what I have just said completely. And I hope you understand where I'm going with this. We need as husbands, need to have a deeper understanding of what it means to lead our households, and more specifically, to be the husbands that we need to be. Paul has dealt extensively with Christ as the head of the church, and so shouldn't we view our headship as husbands in the same manner we view Christ as the head of the church in some of these aspects here that we have discussed? Christ is the standard by which we as husbands are to measure ourselves when it comes to the relationship we have with our wives. Paul makes that very clear. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ also is the head of the church. Husbands, in verse 25, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then he follows that up by saying, so husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Christ is the example that we need to follow. Our most basic function when it comes to our wives, husbands, is that we need to love them. We need to love them. Did you notice how many times Paul tells us to love our wives? Three different times he tells us to love our wives. In fact, it can be distilled down to this. Wives are told three different times to be subject to their husbands. And husbands are told three different times to love their wives. And to love them, their wives, love our wives as ourselves. Have you ever thought about why husbands are told to love their wives, but the wives are not told to love their husbands here in this passage? Certainly wives need to love their husbands. But I believe what Paul is doing, he is getting at the way we need to lead. Our function here is as the head of our wife. And we do that by first and foremost, we love our wives as ourselves. And so we need to view our wives as our own bodies. As Christ and the church form body, so also the husband and the wife. Jump down with me to verse 31. This is a passage taken from Genesis chapter 2. And Paul says here and makes the application, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this isn't quoted But we do read this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Adam's first recorded words were about the woman that God had created from him. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And so that puts a new spin, it really says something to me as far as the relationship I have with my wife. She is just not, attached to me. We're not just kind of joined together. But we are in fact one flesh. That we are together. And so when he says to love your own wife as yourself, Paul is saying, don't just love your wife like you would love yourself, but love your wife because she is yourself. And God has joined you together. And we need to love our own wives because they are our flesh. They are one with us. Have you noticed here how many times Paul uses the word own? Love your own wife. Be subject to your own husband. This is not a possessory type of thing, but I believe it's the sense that she is, in fact, in many respects, you when it comes to our wives. You two are now one flesh. And that should impact how we love our wives, that we give of ourselves totally and fully for her. We nourish her. We cherish her. We love her as Christ loved the church, because God has joined us together. And we now have a relationship that is closer than any other relationship that we have with anybody here on this earth. And we need to view our wives as a spiritual being. This goes back to my rather shallow view of my role as a husband that I've held for way too long, is that of primarily that of a provider and a protector, the decision maker. If I do all of those things and I do them well, have I done my job well as a husband? If I'm simply somebody who earns a living and provides a roof over my wife's head, takes care of the family, takes care of the children, and sees to it that everything is run decently and in order, have I done my job? Have I fulfilled my duty to my wife? I would say no. The one job I have as a father, as far as what we see in the book of Ephesians, is that to provide instruction to my children as far as things relating to God. That's my job. There's way more said about my relationship with my wife than it is to my children. So how much more should I view my wife as a spiritual being with spiritual needs? Consider the example that Jesus set before us. He came to sanctify and to cleanse the church, that she would be spotless, without wrinkle, blameless. And consider all that Jesus did to make this happen. Husbands, should we not have the same goals for our wives that Christ has for our wives? And that we want to provide our wives with everything that she needs, with all the love and the support and the leadership and understanding that is necessary so that she can be the best disciple of Christ that she can be. I believe that is our primary role as husbands, is to lead our wives, to lead our families in that way, to make sure that she is equipped with all that she needs so that she can be the person before the Lord that she needs to be. Certainly those other things, being the provider and all of that, those are important things. But let's think about the spiritual leadership that we need to provide our families, and specifically here in this context, to our wives, and be that support that we need to be. This is by no means has been an exhaustive lesson as far as how husbands need to be to their wives. Certainly much more needs to be said, can be said. But I want us to consider as husbands the example that Christ set before us, and make sure that is the example that we follow when it comes to how we treat and deal with our wives. Young girls here, think about that as you consider one day the man that you are going to decide to marry and what kind of husband you want. Fathers, just think about that as far as what we want for our daughters. You may have a man come to you one day and wanting to ask your permission to take your daughter in marriage. What do we want that potential husband to look like? Is it just so he can provide a roof for our families or for our daughter and that sort of thing? I hope our view of what a husband should be is deeper than that. We want somebody that's going to lead our daughters, help lead our daughters to heaven, to be that support and help that they are going to need. Jesus, as the head of the church, is the perfect model for us to follow as husbands. And husbands, we need to be that for our wives. We need to love our wives as Christ also does the church. We need to sacrificially give ourselves for the sake of our wives. And we need to have that spiritual vision for the wives and do our best as the leaders of our homes to equip them with whatever they need as best as we can so that they are before the Lord spotless and blameless without wrinkle. The relationship we have with the Lord is of utmost importance. And He is our King and He is our Savior and we owe Him everything. If you are subject to the invitation this morning and you need to call upon Jesus as your King and submit to His will, then we ask that you would do that and come forward as we are led in invitation song.